From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They've left the field railing behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12.
What a horse race. These two nose and nose to the wire. Beholder on the inside, Stella Wind on the outer. Stella Wind's going to beat her.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
The Betfair.com Haskell has turned into a thriller. An Exaggerator has gone right on by. A tremendous performance from Exaggerator under Ken DeSormo to win it by two.
Oh my goodness, look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for Mike Penna and Jude Feld. The Baron and the Pontiff, they are out at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita. And in the rainy day, Longfellow said, into each life some rain must fall, some days must be dark and dreary. And while the first half applies here at Belmont, where yesterday's and this morning's rain has left the track a sea of slop, nothing should curb the enthusiasm of horse racing fans today as seven win and you're in races for the Breeders' Cup World Championships will be contested both here in New York and out at Santa Anita. I'm here at Belmont, be joined later on today by Mike Vesey of the Daily Racing Forum. We'll have live coverage of the Vosburgh and the Beldame. Out at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita, are Mike and Jude, and they will take you through all five of the women you're in out there. A big day in thoroughbred racing. Some of the biggest stars in the sport will be on the track today, and if you cannot get pumped up for a day like this, regardless of the weather, like I said, I see a slop here. It poured yesterday. The races came off the turf at Belmont Park for the latter part of the day. Four of the five turf races came off the turf yesterday. Don't know what's going on yet. We'll keep you posted as to track conditions, turf conditions, as to whether or not all of the races are on the turf here at Belmont today, or they just keep the two stakes. The Pilgrim, grade three for the two-year-olds, logical prep for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, as well as the grade one Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, set to go on the turf today. Would be very surprised if the Joe Hirsch came off. Not too stunned if the Pilgrim came off, though, depending on this course condition. We'll be joined by a ton of guests this morning that figure to have a big say in things on one of the two Super Saturdays coming up here on the racing calendar. Of course, this weekend, the actions here at Belmont and out at Santa Anita. Next weekend, Fall Stars weekend down at Keeneland, opening weekend, opening day on Friday. Saturday, big, big stakes card down at Keeneland. And here, of course, at Belmont Park, it'll be anchored by the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. And while Teppan figures to have the marquee to herself a bit next weekend, not the case today, as like I said, some of the biggest stars in all of the sport set to go to post today, led of course by the richest thoroughbred in the history of North America, California Chrome, who will put his perfect record in 2016 on the line against five or six others in the awesome. Again, it highlights five grade ones out at Santa Anita today. But he'll share the marquee today as here at Belmont, the Flincher Show comes back to where it began in 2016. Flincher, of course, started his season with a fantastic score in the Manhattan on Belmont Stakes Day. He's back at Belmont after a couple of impressive scores up at the Spa in the Bowling Green and the Sword Dancer. Back here, he'll take on just three in the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. Speaking of Joe Hirsch, Steve Haskin, one of the premier turf riders in the game, will join us a little later on. He'll reminisce a little bit about Joe. He was very close with Joe Hirsch, and we'll talk about the state of affairs in the thoroughbred game right now. Jose Ortiz, he's won the last four riding titles here on the New York circuit, scheduled to ride all five of those stakes here at Belmont today. Jose will join us. Charlie Baker, fresh off a fantastic Saratoga meet. He has joking in the Vosburgh, Rachel's temper in the Beldame, looking for his first grade one win. He got his first graded stakes victory of his career back in late spring with joking here at Belmont in the True North. He'll try for his first grade one with joking and Rachel's temper later on. Out in California, Mike sat down with Santa Anita Racing Secretary Rick Hammerly. We'll have that interview for you later on this morning, and we'll take a trip down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainesway Farm. Jason Blewett, an Iris TV host here, one of the best in the business. Jason will join me at the end of the show. We'll talk about the stakes here at beautiful Belmont Park. We have a poll question for you, HRRN Nation. Like I said, some of the biggest stars in the sport ready to go to post this afternoon into this evening. So the poll question is, which equine superstar is most vulnerable today in their final prep race for the Breeders' Cup? Your choices are California Chrome in The Awesome Again. The one and only Beholder returns to her favorite racetrack, Santa Anita. She is in the Zenyatta. Of course, we have Flincher in that four-horse field in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. Or Run Happy, and Run Happy is a horse that sort of got lost in the shuffle this weekend a bit since he's not at Belmont or Santa Anita. He is down at Churchill Downs. He is in the Grade 3 ACK. He'll try a flat mile around one turn. And those are your four choices. So California Chrome in The Awesome Again, Beholder in the Zenyatta, Flincher in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, or Run Happy in the ACK. I know I'm looking most forward today to seeing Run Happy in his first start since the Grade 1 Malibu, since his win the day after Christmas out at Santa Anita. An ambitious campaign has been put forth by the connections of Run Happy, looking to run him in the ACK today. Perhaps a run, if all goes well, in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at Santa Anita on Friday, November 4th. And then, of course, perhaps a prep and the Pegasus World Cup in late January down at Gulfstream Park. So a pretty ambitious campaign being put down on paper for Run Happy. We'll see if he can implement it on the racetrack. Will be pretty exciting. Another thing that's pretty exciting is when we go off the air today here on the Equine Forum, we're here from 8 to 10 a.m. Of course, you Spanish-speaking fans and Spanish listeners, we have a little treat for you. Brand new program starts today. You have to head over to hrrnenespanol.com. However, it's Hablando de Hipismo. And if you're looking to get your racing information in Spanish, well, now you can. Every Saturday morning here at hrrnenespanol.com, you can join El Potro, Roberto Rodriguez, and Aloy Vielma as they talk racing every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, all in Spanish on our newest weekly talk show, Hablando de Hipismo. Each week, you'll hear interviews with owners, trainers, and jockeys, along with discussion of the hottest topics in racing and previews of the weekend's biggest races. It's Hablando de Hipismo with El Potro, Roberto Rodriguez, and Eloy Vielma, Saturday mornings from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Tune in worldwide only at hrrnenespanol.com. So when we wrap up the Equine Forum, for you Spanish-speaking listeners, head on over to hrrnenespanol.com and take a listen to Hablando de Hipismo. We'll take our first break. When we come back, Charlie Baker is going to join us to talk about joking and Rachel's temper. The Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious two-year-old, finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a three-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million. Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders Classics on Saturday, October 8th. 9 races worth more than $1.1 million, headlined by the $500,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic. Don't miss out on the excitement of the premier night of West Virginia bred racing, as the best horses the Mountain State has to offer will take center stage. First post time is at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders Classics, right here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Holy Boss rides the rail in joking trails, and Dad's Caps gets away. Dad's Caps is opened up to a two-length lead after a 44 3/2 mile. Always Sunshine is taken second. Catalina Red is full out. On the inside is Holy Boss, and Joking is trying to make a late run on the far outside. Joking is closing in, trying to get Dad's Caps. Dad's Caps, here comes Joking. It is going to be Joking. Joking and Manny Franco running down Dad's Caps and Holy Boss in a final time of 1 minute 8.04 seconds.
Larry Colmus on the call of the True North. Joking gave trainer Charlie Baker the first graded stakes win of his career. He'll try to give him his first grade one in the Vosburgh later on this afternoon here at Belmont Park. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron Mike Pena and the Pontiff Jude Feld. Got a pretty interesting offer for you, HRR Nation. Did you know TVG is offering all new players 5-1 odds on California Chrome, plus you get up to a $100 sign-up bonus? Amazing odds on California Chrome, who is the clear favorite to win today's Awesome Again Stakes at Santa Anita. This is what you have to do. You go to promos.tvg.com/HRRN. Again, promos.tvg.com/HRRN, and join now with the promo code HRRN. You get 5-1 odds on California Chrome, plus a $100 sign-up bonus. That is promos.tvg.com/HRRN. You're getting 5-1 on a horse widely considered the best horse in the country, if not the world today, in that Grade 1 Awesome. Again, we'll tell you more about that promotion a little later on. Nice enough to join us now is trainer Charlie Baker, who has both Joking in the Vosburgh and Rachel's Temper in the Beldame, both looking to give him the first Grade 1 win of his career. Charlie, thanks for joining us this morning on the Equine Forum.
Thank you, Panda.
First off, congratulations on a fantastic Saratoga meet. 10 for 29, good for over right around 35%, and one of the more remarkable wins I've seen in a while. Midnight Song off that year layoff in the Morrissey for back-to-back scores in that stakes race.
Hey, thank you. That was a great meet. It was definitely excited me.
You got your first graded stakes win earlier this year in the True North with Joking. This is a horse you claimed a couple of years back. Just talk about how he has really progressed through the claiming ranks and allowance ranks and into the stake horse that he's become.
Well, when I claimed him, he was a very nervous horse. We tried to get him to relax a little bit more. And the first year, he did good, but he was still pretty nervous. We had to get him tacked on a walk and all that stuff, but he gradually got better. And last year, which we gave him a little time off over the winter and brought him back, he just became a different horse. He pretty much trained good coming into the race, his first race. Had him a little short for his first race. He finished second that day, but right away I knew he was a much better horse. So we ran him that day for a 6-2-50 claiming price. And right after that, I pretty much set him up because I knew he needed a race. He ran a good second, but he needed that race. And since then, he's just been great for me.
And I'm sorry, Shelly.
No, go ahead.
Well, he really loves Belmont Park, and you mentioned giving him some time off over the winter. You did the same thing up at Saratoga. He was going to run, and he decided to just give him the break. Talk a little bit about the break and how that's helped him going forward into the fall.
Okay. Well, the break was a planned break. We were planning to run the sprint championship. He popped the splint on the sprint blown, so we decided, okay, his break was going to start there. We were going to plan to give him, because Saratoga, taking him to Saratoga the last couple of years, he got really nervous. The Parasol is just active, people walking through the barn area. He never settled. He never really settled. So we decided we were going to take him to Saratoga this year. We were going to give him Saratoga off and bring him back for the fall for the Belmont meet, which he loved that track anyway. So that would seem like the right thing to do. But he needed a little break because he does great off the break. He just gets to relax and put some weight on. He's normally a pretty narrow horse. Just one of those narrow kind of horses. So on a break, he put a weight on, and we get to get him back fresh for the. So the break has done him great. I mean, he came back working great, come back working super. He had a 5 works out into him going to this race, and he has been, I'd say he's pretty fit, ready to go, and really feeling himself right now.
What do you attribute his love to Belmont Park? I mean, 8 races here at Belmont, 5 wins, 3 seconds, of course, that win in the Grade 2 True North.
It's definitely the wide turns. He gets to run on the turn. In the small track, aqueduct in the track, on the smaller track, he has to wait at the top of the lane to really get into full gear and doesn't really normally get there. And on the Belmont track, he can make his move on the turn because it's so sweeping that he can put himself in position to make a solid run. And I think the key issue about Belmont than the aqueduct track. And on the aqueduct outer track is actually a better horse than the inner track itself too. So it's definitely the wider turn, the bigger tracks, where he gets to get in gear a little bit on the turn instead of waiting for the top of the lane to close.
Talking with trainer Charlie Baker, he has Joking in the Vosburgh, Rachel's Temper in the Beldame, both Grade 1s. You'll hear them both here on the Horse Racing Radio Network starting at 5 o'clock today. Charlie, AP Indian might come out because of the wet track. Joking absolutely loves a wet track. Did you hire the rain dancers yesterday?
Yeah, I was looking for a little moisture in the track. I mean, I think the horse runs than anything, but he definitely has a great record on the off track. So I didn't mind seeing the rain at all.
and like joking. Beldame is a former claimer. You took her just two starts back, Rachel's Temper, for 62.5 out of a optional claimer, two other than up at Saratoga. She got beat just a nose that day to Going for Broke, who you'll face again. You wheeled her right back, and you won a restricted stakes in your first start with her. Talk to me about Rachel's Temper.
Well, I think she's a very honest filly. Nice, deep, a darling to be around, really. And she seems to try whenever she's doing good. And right now she's doing good. She always gives you a great when she's doing good. And I always liked her. I mean, I've been watching her run for the past year or so, and I thought she was just a neat little horse. So the first time I actually got a chance to claim her that day, it was no hesitating because I liked her a lot.
Another filly. Go ahead, Charlie.
Her last race was a little improvement from her previous, which was a good race. When I claimed her, she ran a huge race that day. I was more encouraged after that race, after claiming her, and she ran as big as she did going into the race that I ran up, the stake that I ran back, and she gave me a lot of confidence going into that race. So I think she's just a nice filly that tries and seems like the longer she goes, the better she is.
Another one in your barn that really loves Belmont Park, four wins, a second and two thirds from seven starts. Is that a coincidence, or do we do this with a purpose?
No, it was a coincidence. I think they're just like joking. They come out, they do the better running off the pace. So why turn usually at those kind of horses a lot on Belmont Park, and they do their running late. So she can make a sustain a drive on the turn and come running. So it's just. It's just a coincidence that we got two horses that love Belmont.
And two of her better races have come now at the mile and an eighth distance. She's only run it twice, and it was her last two starts. You'd have to think she's going to love this one turn mile and an eighth today.
Yeah, she sure. I mean, she's doing good. She's coming into the race pretty good. She'll definitely love it. I think it's a one turn mile. Yes, it's definitely a one turn mile. I think that's going to help her more than even the two turn mile, to tell you the truth. I think she's a better. She would be a better one-turn horse than a two-turn. Well, she has proven she can do a two-turn. But I think the one-turn would be a big asset to her doing good today.
Talking with trainer Charlie Baker. He'll be represented in a couple of grade ones here at Belmont later on today. Charlie, you took Joking a couple of years ago. You took Rachel's Temper two starts back. Most guys or gals that are in the training game would be happy to claim one horse and get them into a stakes. You've claimed two. They've already become stakes winners, including Joking, who gave you your first graded stakes win. What do you, without giving away too many of your secrets, how do you have this knack for taking the right ones and improving them? I mean, that's really the name of the claiming game, right?
Yeah, it's a knack. Well, you can say it's a knack. It's a knack and luck, because you actually looking at a horse you think might be able to run in the stakes. Pretty much Rachel, I thought she'll be okay in the stakes for the winter. That's pretty much when I went for her. I thought she'd be okay. She'll be okay in the stakes for winter. But that race, she told me she could actually compete in the summer. So I went for figuring she could be a stake horse for the winter. But we got lucky, and sometimes you need luck. But I do look for horses because I don't have owners that buy those expensive yearling. I'm always looking for a bargain claim that might make a stake horse. That's my way to get a stake horse most of the time. Yeah, I mean, I got most of my owners are breeders. They buy cheaper level horses, so we got to figure a way to get a good one. That's my route to actually trying to get a good one most of the time. So we're always looking to find something that might move up to that level at all times.
1,441 wins in your career. Safe to say if one of these two gets to the wire today first, it'll be the biggest win in your career?
Yeah, definitely. 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 I think, what a great two, but the biggest win of my career for me and most excited was when Moonlight Song won that race back off the air off in Saratoga, because he's like a barn set, the big horse in the barn. No matter who comes in there, he's a whole man, a big horse in the barn. So I'm more excited about him coming off the layoff and winning so far than in my career than any horse that I've won. So definitely this could top that, but right now, Moonlight is the high point of my career as far as coming off that year layoff, and just because the horse means so much to the barn.
How's he doing? We going to see him New York Bred Showcase Day?
Yeah, definitely. Everything's going good. He's doing good, and we're definitely pointing for the Showcase Day. And
all right. Well, Charlie, thank you for some time this morning. I know you're pretty busy. Two Grade 1 runners later on, Joking in the Vosburg, Rachel's Temper in the Beldame. Charlie, best of luck to you today and going forward. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. I'm done.
All right, Charlie Baker looking to get the first Grade 1 win of his career today here at Belmont. Park, I love the fact that he said that Moonlight Song, despite winning a Grade 2, that winning a New York Bred Stakes race up at the Spa with Moonlight Song, the biggest win of his career, off a one-year layoff, a fantastic training job. We'll see Moonlight Song on New York Bred Showcase Day here at Belmont October 22nd. We'll see today, though, if Joking or Rachel's Temper could add to Charlie Baker's legend. Speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, presented by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
In late July of 1964, a well-matched field answered the call to post for the running of the Brooklyn Handicap over 10 furlongs. In that stellar field were Kelso with Milo Valenzuela in the saddle, Gunbow with Walter Blum at the controls, and Iron Peg with the shoe Willie Shoemaker up. There were 8 total starters, but the consensus was that the race would be decided amongst these 3, and consensus prevailed in what turned out to be a memorable performance by the eventual winner. A lot happened during the race, and a lot happened before. As the 8-horse field was loaded into the gate, Kelso knelt down in his stall as though preparing to pray. Rather than getting up on his feet, he reared back and sat on his haunches. It seemed totally out of context for the grand old champion, who had been calm in both the paddock and during the parade to post, but for whatever reason, he was rank indeed at the gate. In fact, the starting gate went slightly askew as he went to his knees. Kelso had injured himself in the very same way while in training in California once before, and that had cost him the winter of racing. When Valenzuela and an assistant starter finally got Kelso righted, starter George Cassidy got the field away immediately and in good order. Kelso broke alertly enough, but by the time the field had gone barely an eighth of a mile, he had dropped well back into 7th place. By the stands they went and on into the clubhouse turn, with Gunbow under Walter Blum setting the pace and breezing along uncontested while increasing his lead. Around the turn and on into the backside, Gunbow opened up a margin so commanding it looked like a one-horse race with the rest of the field far in arrears. Iron Peg, the suburban winner under Shoemaker, had been the one that figured to prompt the pace, but he had all he could do to just keep close enough to have Gunbow in sight. You couldn't find the rest of the field with a sheriff's warrant. By the time they had gone 5 furlongs, Kelso was so far back that Valenzuela began whipping him to try to close some part of what was a monumental gap to Gunbow, and there was half the race yet to be run. Gunbow reeled off sensational fractions on the front end, and no doubt a great many in the crowd stole a look at the teletimer to check the fractions. At the top of the stretch, with still a quarter of a mile left to run, it was all over but the yelling, with the only remaining question to be answered was what the final margin of victory would be, and of course the final time. Blum was in the proverbial catbird seat for the entire trip, opening up a lead of 7, then 9, 10, and finally 12 lengths, the winning margin. He had never faced any kind of a challenge at all for the entire 10 furlongs. The final time was the expected sensational 1:59.3. Until this race, Gunbow became the first and only horse to have ever clocked less than 2 minutes for the distance in New York. Kelso appeared to have suffered no ill effect from the incident at the gate, returning after the race in good shape with no soreness. It was, very simply, that Gunbow had had his day, and a 5-star effort indeed it was, July 1964, in the running of the Brooklyn Handicap.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Frosted has won with ease in the Whitney.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
Pretty City Dancer and Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire and once again number one in 2016, more than $5 million clear on the general sire list. Tappet added to his lofty totals with two new Grade 1 winners in the spinaway at Saratoga as his daughters, Sweet Loretta and Pretty City Dancer, dead-heated for the Grade 1 victory. And Tappet's son, Tapazar, now has a first crop stakes winner as Tip Tap Tapazar closed impressively to take Monmouth's Sapling Stakes. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tapazar retired sound and is represented by eight individual first crop two-year-old winners to date. Tappet and Tapazar standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're into the stretch. Laverdad off the turn in front. Room for Me is two lengths behind. Dame Dorothy has now moved up and takes second. La Verdad set down for a final furlong here. Trying to hold off Dame Dorothy. And on the outside, Wavell Avenue is closing in too. But it's La Verdad, Wavell Avenue, La Verdad in the gallant bloom. Over Wavell Avenue, Dame Dorothy was third and Room for Me was fourth.
The truth, La Verdad took him gate to wire in last year's Gallant Bloom. She's retired. But Little Sister Hot City Girl is here, and she'll be ridden by Jose Ortiz, who will join us in just a little bit. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for Mike Penna and Jude Feld. HRRN Nation, are you looking to get your racing information in Spanish? Well, now you can every Saturday morning at HRRNEspanol.com. Join Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma as they talk racing every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern, all in Spanish, on our newest weekly talk show, Hablando de Hipismo. Each week, you'll hear interviews with owners, trainers, and jockeys, along with discussion of the hottest topics in racing and previews of the weekend's biggest races. It's Hablando de Abismo with El Potro, Roberto Rodriguez, and Eloy Vielma, Saturday mornings from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Tune in worldwide only at HRRNEnEspanol.com. I am up here at beautiful Belmont Park, producer to the stars, Lee Delpina, down in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. We are efforting to get Jose Ortiz on the line for you, the leading rider in the last four meets here on the New York Racing Association circuit. When you just think about how far Jose has come from a bug rider just 3 years ago, an apprentice rider just 3 years ago, to the leading journeyman now in New York as the Hawks circle here at Belmont Park, one of the perks of being so high up here at beautiful Belmont Park. We get to see the Hawks circling about every day. Not too many people get to see those Hawks every day. Larry Colmus and I do. We also get to see snowflakes when it's cold enough, like it was yesterday. During the rain, the snowflakes turn to rain before they hit the ground, but we're about 100 feet up here at Belmont Park. We get to see the Hawks and the snowflakes on a weekly basis, if you will. But getting back to Jose Ortiz, the last four riding titles here in New York, two over at Aqueduct, one here at Belmont, and of course, the big one up at Saratoga. Jose, known for winning on the front end, he came from off the pace. His brother, Arad Ortiz Jr., was actually in front in the standings up at Saratoga before Jose took over. Oh, just about midway through the meet. They tussled just about midway through the meet, and then towards the end, Jose began to edge away from older brother Arad. Fantastic battle by the Ortiz brothers through the Saratoga meet. Jose comes out on top, four in a row now, and that is a tough, tough task, especially for such a young man who, again, just 3 years ago, still an apprentice on this circuit. But we've seen it before. We've seen guys, namely John Velasquez, and he's the one I always go to, fellow Puerto Rican like Jose Ortiz, John Velasquez. We saw him have his bug here in New York, cut his teeth here against arguably the toughest colony in the United States on a year-in, year-out basis, and come out smelling like a rose. And you know, even Johnny, I don't want to say he struggled at the beginning of his journeyman career, which eventually led to an induction in the Hall of Fame, but I don't recall Johnny having the impact that Jose has had on this colony. And, you know, he's riding against a three-time defending Eclipse champion, Javier Castellano. He rides against his brother, Arad, who was a finalist for the Eclipse Award last year. He rides against Joel Rosario, John Velasquez, Kendrick Carmouche, Jose Lascano. He rides against these guys on a daily basis. And, yeah, things get a little easier in the winter. But for the most part, he's beating the best on a daily basis. And, you know, that Saratoga riding title, I think, really sums it all up as to just how far he's come in a short period of time, Jose Ortiz Jr. And for my money, the best front-end rider in the game. If I had to win one race with a speed horse, I certainly would be reaching out for Jose Ortiz. A couple of years ago, he stole a couple of grade one wins with Bel Galante for Rudy Rodriguez with crafty front-running scores. And joining us now is Saratoga riding champion, in fact, the man who won the last four riding titles here on the New York Racing Association circuit, Jose Ortiz. Jose, it's Anthony Stabile. Thanks for joining us on the Equine Forum this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Jose, let's start off. Congratulations. A phenomenal meet up at Saratoga. 64 wins. Again, caps off a run of four consecutive riding titles on this circuit. You've come a long way since you lost your bug a few years back.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, a lot of hard work, and I've been gaining a lot of experience in the years gone by. I think that I've been made the difference. My agent do a great job. Everybody knows that. And like I say, a lot of hard work.
Yeah, Jose and his agent Jimmy Riccio out every morning. They really busted here at Aqueduct Belmont and Saratoga. A lot of hard work. You're going to have a lot of hard work today. You're named on all five stakes races today. Let's get right to it. In the sixth race, Turf Classic Invitational, you're left with the daunting task of trying to beat arguably the best turf horse in the world, Flincher, what Ecto. Is the plan to just put this one on the lead today, Jose?
I mean, it's a short field. Everybody knows that Flincher is the best horse, or maybe the best horse in turf in the country, but I haven't talked to Todd yet. I mean, we're going to go over the... But, I mean, it's short field, it's no speed. My horse got a little bit of speed. I think my plan A would be take the lead and try to slow down and make a run in the end of it.
Yeah, this is a horse who just a couple of years ago was one of the favorites to win the Arc de Triomphe, which, of course, will be run tomorrow out in Longchamp. Things haven't gone that well for him since. Jose going to ride him in just a field of four. He'll take on the one and only Flincher. That's race number six. Race seven, things get a little more familiar for you. Hot City Girl is a filly you've won on many, many times. Half-sister to one of the best horses you've ridden, I would assume, in La Verdad. What do you think about her chances today?
I think she had a very good chance. She won in really good fashion in Saratoga. La Verdad loved the slope, so I'm hoping that if she run first, because Linda was like in 50-50, she was going to run. If she run, she breathes good the day, and I hope she like that track like La Verdad did. I think she has speed. I got a horse with speed out of me, but I think I should be going to the lead too.
You've ridden both La Verdad and Hot City Girl numerous times. Are there a lot of similarities between the two fillies?
Yeah, they are a lot like, but La Verdad, you know, La Verdad is way much special for me than Hot City Girl. But Hot City Girl, since we put the linkers on, she wake up a lot.
And Hot City Girl's really run well at a bunch of different racetracks. She won the Charlestown Oaks last year. She's won here at Belmont. She ran very well out at Santa Anita last year. Racetrack doesn't seem to be an issue for her.
No, she's very good cheaper, and she runs everywhere. So that's something good that she has. Very good for her.
That's race number seven, the Gallon Bloom. Jose, of course, won it last year aboard Hot City Girl's big sister, La Verdad. Race number eight, the Pilgrim Grade 3. By the way, folks, all the non-turf races off the turf today, 1, 2, 4, and 11 off the turf at Belmont. The two stakes will stay on. Jose, one of the most impressive performances at the meet, Oscar Performance, had a lot of people talking after the race. A lot of people mentioned it was a lot like Big Brown's win up at Saratoga back in 2007. That was the first time you rode him last time after he debuted for Lynch. You rode him second time out. Was he as impressive as all the hype leads you to believe?
Yeah, very impressive. He really impressed me that day. He got the outside hole from the gate, and he broke out of the gate very sharply, and he took the lead and opened up in the stretch. I mean, today he's the favorite. The other horse is a maiden still, the second choice. I know he's a good horse, but, you know, my horse is doing great. The only question mark is going to be how he's going to handle a very soft turf because it's really soft.
Yeah, soft turf, a question mark for the number six, Oscar Performance, Jose's mount in the Grade 3 Pilgrim. We're talking, of course, with Jose Ortiz. He's won the last four riding titles here on the circuit at the New York Racing Association, including 64 wins up at historic Saratoga race course. Race number 9 is another grade 1, the grade 1 Vosburgh. A little bit of a long shot for you in here. Danny's Deceiver, but you'd have to think that the wet track's going to help this one for trainer Dave Canizzo.
Yeah, I think so. Canizzo told me the horse is doing great. I never ride a horse before. AP Indian Scratch. I mean, I think my horse got a good shot because he sat behind and made one run. So we're going to do the same thing. We're going to sit and make one run. We might get there. The track is sloppy. You know, some horses doesn't like. I think I'm not the favorite or nothing like that, but I think my horse is honest horse. He's going to step up in class. He's going to run against better horses, but he's honest and he always show up. So that's something that I like about him.
And he really seems to like Belmont Park. 2 wins in 3 seconds from 6 tries at Belmont for over $160,000 in earnings.
Yeah.
And finally, the big one today, the grade 1 Beldame. Tiger Ride, a filly for Graham Motion, always dangerous Graham Motion when he ships in. Another one, the wet track certainly should help this filly. She won a stakes at Indiana Grand last year by 5 in the slop. Impeccable wet track pedigree. Another filly you'll be riding for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, first time I'm being on her. Last time I saw her running in Saratoga, it was a hot pace, very, very fast, 46, and she was behind us like 5-6 lengths. And she make a move, and she looked like a winner, but Rosa, the whole Rosario rode runner down that was in the back of the pack. And, I mean, Graham always, I like to ride for him. He's a trainer who always come ready. And, I mean, and today I think we have a very good shot. It's another horse in there that, I mean, off the track, should have speed, but he got a very good position. So I don't know if he want to be going to the lead.
Off the tracks, Philly won the grade 1 Mother Goose on earlier this year. We're talking with Jose Ortiz. Jose, before we let you go, that wraps up today, all 5 stakes. Good luck today. Next weekend, Champagne. I know you Tiger Ride, you'll be riding for the first time today. Practical Joke's not one you're riding for the first time. Looking forward to him next week in the Champagne?
Not really. Practical Joke is he's going to be riding Iraq because I be going to Kinland for several days. So 7, 8, 9, 12, 13, 14, and 15 of October, I'll be on Kinland. Next two weeks, in the weekend days, I'll be more going to Kinland. I'll be riding the Chagwemai. I'll be riding the Phoenix. I'll be riding all the stakes over there. So I'm very excited about it, too.
All right. Your first time that you're really going down to Kinland for a chunk of time, yes?
Yeah, first time.
All right, well, good luck down at Kinland. It's good to have Big Brother there to substitute for Practical Joke, I guess, huh?
I mean, he was his horse before, and I don't know what happened. I ended up riding in on the hopeful. So, I mean, it worked out that way. Now he got him back or whatever. But I got to go there because Ironico's running, and Ironico is my big horse. He just finished second behind Flying Chire, so I have to keep following him.
Ironicus, of course, for Hall of Famer, Shug McGahee. Jose, I know you got to go get ready for a very busy day here at Belmont Park. Thanks for some time this morning. Good luck today, and good luck down at Kinland next week.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Jose Ortiz, leading rider here, the last 4 meets on the NYRA circuit. Let's take a break. When we come back, talk a little bit more about this exciting Saturday of racing. And in the second hour, we'll have Steve Haskin from the Blood Horse, one of the foremost turf riders in the game. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna here to tell you all about my friends Mark and Trish Smith at MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. I recently purchased an ATV and trailer from MLS Power Sports, and I can tell you firsthand, they'll greet you with a friendly and knowledgeable staff, and they're passionate about off-roading, whether it be for work or play. MLS Power Sports is Kentucky's largest Arctic Cat dealer and Central Kentucky's largest pre-owned off-road dealer. Today is the final day to take advantage of their factory authorized clearance with the lowest prices of the year on 2016 models and rebates up to $3,700 on non-current models. It is a great time to get the best deal on your new side-by-side or ATV. Visit MLSPowerSports.com and stop by and see them today.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Bred for greatness and a brilliant grade one winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalucci Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the first crop sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
Maryland Breds are your formula for success. Be part of a breeding program in a state which offers competitive purses, 30% breeder bonuses, 30% owner bonuses, and year-round racing backed by state legislators creating pro-breeding and racing legislation, all supported by a working cooperative between the racetracks, horsemen, and breeders. It's time to own a Maryland Bred. Better stallions, better mares. Maryland Breds. Learn more at MarylandThoroughbred.com.
Make sure your horses shine at the sales with the highest quality hay and straw from Washington Hay Company. At Washington Hay Company, you'll find beautiful bright straw, top quality Timothy hay, and their soft leafy alfalfa, all from Washington State. And their unparalleled personal service ensures they'll be by your side every step of the way at your most important time of the year. So let Washington Hay worry about the hay, straw, and shavings while you present your horse. So call Brad Green today, because if your horse had a phone, they would call Washington Hay Company.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Now comes the test as they come to the top of the lane. California Chrome. Victor Espinosa took a confident look back. California Chrome is strong on the lead. Beholder is set down now by Gary Stevens. Dortmund on the outside, an opportunity. Homeward bound, and California Chrome is threatening to turn this one into a romp. Victor Espinosa hasn't even thought about the sticks. One of the greatest performances you'll ever see. California Chrome in a canter. California Chrome, unbelievable. Beholder certainly not disgraced in second. Behind that came Dortmund, Opportunity, Delmore. Then we came back to Imperative, War Story, and Hard Aces.
Trevor Denman on the call of the Pacific Classic. California Chrome dominated Beholder, Dortmund, and all the rest that day. They'll take on five or six others today in the Grade 1. Awesome again out at Santa Anita. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the Baron, Mike Penna, and the Pontiff, Jude Feld. They're out of California. We'll hear from them later on today. We'll hear from Mike a little later on. He has an interview with Santa Anita's Racing Secretary Rick Hammerly, which will air for you in just a little while in hour number two. But Mike and Jude will be live out at the Great Race Place later on today. coverage of the Vosburgh and Beldame from Belmont Park and all five stakes from Santa Anita. It begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on the website. So go to horseracingradio.net at 5 o'clock. Mike Vesey and I will be here at Belmont to take you through the Vosburgh and the Beldame, and then we will send it out to the Great Race Place where Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and my buddy Jeff Bloom have all the action for you. Five grade ones, five winning your ins out at Santa Anita, two winning your ins here, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, which will run before we go on the air, as well as the Vosburgh. So we will have a winning your in from Belmont for you later on this afternoon. Again, 5 o'clock Eastern, exclusively at horseracingradio.net. That's today, but on Sunday, October 16th, watch and wager on the Patterson Canadian International live from Woodbine Racetrack. See the best horses from Europe, Australia, the United States, and, of course, Canada. And with $1 million on the line, they'll all bring their A game as they take to the E.P. Taylor Turf Course for the mile-and-a-half event. Woodbine will offer large guaranteed pools and 20-cent bet minimums on all Triacta, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools that afternoon. Again, watch and wager on the Patterson Canadian International Sunday, October 16th. Post time is 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit WoodbineRacetrack.com. Earlier this morning, folks, at the top of the show, we gave you our poll question of the day, and it's still up. Head over to at HRRN on Twitter to answer the poll question. You can get us, of course, at HRRN on Twitter. I am at the Big A Stabil. Question was, which equine superstar is most vulnerable today in their final prep race for the Breeders' Cup? Your choices, again, are California Chrome in the Awesome Again, Beholder in the Zenyatta, Flincher in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, or Run Happy in the ACK. Head over at HRRN on Twitter to cast your vote now. And as I take a check here with 60 votes in, as we creep up towards the 9 o'clock hour in the second half of the Equine Forum, 44% of you think Run Happy is the most vulnerable, followed by Beholder at 35%, California Chrome at 11%, and Flincher at 10%. I would probably agree for the most part with that poll, though. I think Beholder is probably the most vulnerable today. Stella Wind has already handled her this year in the Clement Hirsch, and perhaps now at the age of six, starting to see the other side of the mountain. So I think Beholder is the most vulnerable today. We'll, as we creep through this Equine Forum, another hour to go, we'll let you know one more time later on just to where this poll is at. Right now, though, Run Happy leads the way. And Run Happy, one of the more interesting stories in the past year or so in the sport, a rags-to-riches kind of story as far as where he started out in his career and the tumult that surrounded him for the better part of the last 9 or 10 months. Great to see him back on the racetrack, though. He's working gangbusters, as they say, for his return to the racetrack. He'll try a mile today in his first start in a little over 10 months, 9 months, I should say, a little over 9 months, as he gets ready for a proposed tilt in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Always good to see horses like Run Happy. As far as my money goes, horse flesh that we've seen in the last 15 years or so, one of the more remarkable runners I've seen. He's one of those horses, he looks like he could run right through a brick wall, and was fortunate enough to see him live and in color last summer up at the Spa when he upset the King's Bishop and really burst on to the scene. Of course, he followed the King's Bishop with the Phoenix and Breeders' Cup Sprint win. He was ridden in all three of those races by Edgar Prado. Edgar was hurt when he ran in the Malibu the day after Christmas last year out at Santa Anita. Edgar Prado back, and glad to see a little loyalty there as Edgar gets the mount back on Run Happy, a Hall of Famer in his own right. Edgar Prado back aboard. He'll take on Just Five out at Churchill Downs later on today. Next hour, here on the Equine Forum, we'll have Steve Haskin, who comes up in just a couple of minutes. an interview that Mike Pena did with Rick Hammerly, the racing secretary out at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita, and Jason Blewett. NYRA TV host Jason Blewett will join me on the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainesway Farm. Right now, we're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And California Chrome is threatening to turn this one into a romp. Victor Espinosa hasn't even thought about the six. One of the greatest performances you'll ever see. California Chrome in a canter.
It is Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, still coming. And here she comes to the outside. Holding Bob Dance under the wire. Pretty City Dancer and Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Amis Gizmo in front, but here comes Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
At the eighth hole, Songbird begins to stride away. Karina Mia second, Catherine Sophia laboring back in third. Here she is, folks. Just a magnificent blend of grace and power as she comes to the finish. Songbird, a picture of perfection.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Pena, and the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. Mike and Jude out at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita, for our coverage of Breeders' Cup Preview Day out in Arcadia, California. I'm here at beautiful Belmont Park. Coverage of seven stakes races later on today from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time exclusively at the website horseracingradio.net. We'll have the Vosburgh and the Beldame, a pair of grade ones from here at beautiful but a little blustery Belmont Park. A little windy today. Yesterday's rains and a little rain this morning have left the track sloppy to muddy right now. I believe it's officially listed as muddy off the turf for all the races except the two graded stakes races. So the Pilgrim and the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, both still on the turf. And then Mike, Jude, and our buddy Jeff Bloom will be out at Santa Anita for five winning your in races, highlighted by the awesome, again, featuring California Chrome, one of the best in the game. Speaking of best in the game, joining us now, a guy that's taught me a lot in this great sport and in this great game, the greatest game they play outdoors. For a long time, you read his Derby Dozen, and you still will over at bloodhorse.com, and Steve covers the game like no other. Steve Haskin. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
Doing great. Apropos to have you on today, Joe Hirsch Turf Classic a little later on this afternoon here at Belmont Park, 3:26 post time. Named, of course, for the dean of all turf riders, Joe Hirsch, somebody I know was very close to you and meant a lot to you in your life.
Yes, I mean, if anybody deserves a race named after him, it's Joe. And I'm just wondering what Joe would think of when he saw the entries come in and said, "That's it. we've got four grass horses worthy of running in this race." I mean, when they give him away that kind of a purse, and you give him away $500,000 in a Grade One. And listen, I know Flincher is not the kind of horse that you want to just rush to the starting gate to meet. But for this kind of purse and for Grade One, I mean, it's basically the same faces again. You know, it's the same, you know, Twilight Eclipse, and it's the same Money Multiplier. So it's just very, very odd, because usually the grass races are where they have no trouble filling. Four, my goodness. And let me tell you something. I don't have to tell you, when you have a four-horse field, especially on the grass, a lot of crazy things happen in those kind of races. You get all kinds of crazy paces. And I heard Chad Brown the other day say, well, I don't mind the four-horse field because, you know, you don't get in trouble. You know what? A lot of you get in trouble more often in a four-horse field than you would in a nine-horse field.
It's funny that he was saying that because on Thursday there was an issue here in a turf race. A couple of horses came into the paddock for the second race, and they had the wrong shoes on, so they had to be scratched, and it scratched down to a field of four, and Chad ran a horse named Detail who got into a ton of trouble, got beat about three parts of a length, and was not happy about the outcome of the race, because the horse was probably best. And it's funny that he says that a few days ago, and then it comes back to get him pretty much right away as he gets beaten at Forest Field. You know, not for nothing, Steve, this is a horse in Flincher that he got himself jammed up a bit the last two times in a four-horse field and a seven-horse field.
Two out of his last three races, Chad had to hold his breath to see. The only reason he got through the last time was that his own stablemate let him through and bothered another horse to do so. So and then two races back, the same thing happened. He was stuck behind a wall of horses. And first of all, it's easier for the other jocks to put a target on your back when there's only four horses because you're right there. It's not like a nine-horse field where you can get lost. A jock might want to do something to screw up a big favorite, and he can't find him. He said, well, I'm always near him. But here, you're going to be looking that horse in the eye at some point. So the one thing he has going from here, you know, is the fact that he has an outside post, and he can just sit, and even if he has to lose some ground. But listen, he's more of a horse that likes, you know, a little bit more firm or good, and he's going to get a soft course. So that's another element that you just don't know. So listen, I'm not saying he's going to get beat. He's by far the best, but he is a horse who depends mainly on an explosive turn of foot. And the four horse field, it's very hard to use that turn of foot because everybody's going to be just, you know, bunched up somewhere. So it all depends on strategy. You know, looking at it, you would think that Pletcher's horse on the rail, Ecto, is going to go to the front because he's shown, you know, when I say speed, I use the term relatively. When you go 49,
very loosely,
114, you know, I hate to use the word speed, but he's got the ability to run up close to the pace. And you have to remember too is that, you know, a horse like Twilight Eclipse, who, you know, hardly ever wins, but I've got so much respect for this horse. He shows up every single race. And people forget that a few years ago, he set a world record.
At this distance.
A mile and a half, which didn't last very long. But he set a world record. And you might want to try something different with a horse like this, because he can't outclose Flincher. He's shown that on several occasions. But you know what? I would just send this horse to the lead. You know, he gets the distance. He's ultra consistent. He's not a horse that's going to really catch you. He doesn't have a big closing kick. If you're going to have any kind of shot of beating Flincher, you know what? Just take it to him. Try and pull a Precious Passion. You know, go out there and open up 10 lengths and try to run them off their feet and hang on. No horse ever did what Precious Passion used to do. We'd go out there in 45 and change, and then horses would come to him, and he'd find another gear and kick in again. But
he was Elvis Trujillo.
Yeah. Right. Mary Hartman, I believe, trained him, right? I think.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. So I would just try and do that. I mean, it's not going to exert you to get the lead in a race like this. And then who knows, maybe Fletcher will go to the lead. I don't know, but you know what, that's what I mean. When you have a four-horse field, everything is so crazy and everything is so out of kilter that you don't know what's going to happen, and that's a lot of times what causes problems. So, you know, I wouldn't get too overconfident on Flincher and just say, oh, I'm just going to sit back there and make the one big run. If I was Castellano, I'd say, you know what, I don't want him anywhere near the inside. Just keep them to the outside the whole way. Keep them in touch with the leaders, and then just try and kick home. But, you know, listen, should he win? Of course he should win. He's the best horse by far. But, you know, it's grass, and anything can happen in these races.
We're talking with
and
the
Money
Multiplier
is no slouch. It's not like
no,
Winter
no, he's not.
Destroyed him last time. He only beat him a length and three quarters.
Nobody likes four-horse field, Steve. Even Larry Comas. I saw Larry in the hallway yesterday or Thursday. And I said, well, you know, that'll be an easy one. He goes, it's actually not. I'd rather call seven or eight than call four. So nobody, if the track announcer doesn't like four, who likes four?
Yeah, how much can you say?
Right, exactly.
It takes you 3 seconds to call the entire field, and then you got to come up with something else. And chances are the positions are not going to change. So basically, you just have to find something to say during the race.
Steve, a ton of star power in the entry box today across the country. Awesome Again has California Chrome. The Zenyatta has Beholder. Ack has Run Happy. You got Flincher here in New York. Really good day to be a horse racing fan.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it's just the races at Sandy's alone are amazing. But I tell you, again, they're horse races, and I know everybody's going in there saying that, you know, well, this is a prep. California Chrome's going to destroy these horses. He's already beaten them all and soundly. And watch out for this race. I'm not forecasting, you know, an upset, but it would not surprise me for several reasons. Number one, which actually is the number one reason, is the post number one, that California Chrome, if he does have a weakness, he does not like running inside of horses. That's not his strength at all. He seems to get lost inside of horses. So he's got post one. Dortmund is right outside him in post two with blinkers on, dropping back from a mile and a quarter in a race where they tried to rate Dortmund. And he's not a true mile and a quarter horse. And by rating him, it allowed California Chrome to break from the inside and establish a clear lead and get off the rail and just completely control the race. But, you know, you're dealing with Baffert and blinkers, and it's obviously Baffert has an agenda here. And I think his agenda
he was quoted this week. He said they're going to let Dortmund run free.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to do more than that. I think Baffert is going to give instructions and to say, look, if California Chrome goes to the lead, which you no doubt will, I don't want you more than a head or a neck off him. I want you to keep him pinned down and turn it into a match race. And if he runs us into the ground, he runs us into the ground. But he only beat Dortmund a half a length in the San Diego. Granted, he was coming off a layoff, but Dortmund didn't have a ton of races under him either. So now he's dropping back to a mile and eighth. And Dortmund has got a tremendous record at Santa Anita, so he doesn't lose there.
5-5.
So I would just turn this into a match race and say, you know what? The only way I'm going to beat this horse is try and run, just see who cracks first. And you get another thing Dortmund has going for him. Dortmund is over 17 hands. He's probably closer to 17-1. So even though California Chrome is a decent-sized horse, he's going to be, you know, intimidated from a size standpoint. So basically the strategy is simple. I think you're going to see a match race because you don't even have to worry about the horses behind you. You can worry about opportunity and hard aces. I mean,
opportunity likely coming out to come here for the Jockey Club Gold Cup next Saturday at Belmont.
Okay. Well, that's a smart move. So you really don't have anybody to worry about here. There's really nobody in the race. I mean, hard aces is a decent horse, but if you can't beat hard aces, you're not going to win the classic. So basically, it's a match race. So go out there and see if you can use your size, the blinkers, your speed. And Dortmund is an actual front runner. He's run his best races on the front end. And I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see California Chrome on the rail, and you're going to see Dortmund lapped on him the entire race. And we'll see who cracks. And I'm not saying Dortmund's going to beat him, but you know what? If he outlasts him and California Chrome is the first to crack, it's not going to shock me. Let's put it that way. Because people People might be underestimating Dortmund. He's a very good horse.
I agree. I agree with you. You know, I don't know how it unfolds. But I can tell you one thing. If you're listening to the Equine Forum this morning, we're talking with the great Steve Haskin. You may have saved Naira and Santa Anita some money today. I think you may have scared off some place in show plungers. Some place in show plungers with this last 12 minutes. I'll tell you what, you'd have me shaking in my boots.
Well, listen, believe me, I'm not saying either one of these horses are going to come out of the money. Let's put it that way. But California Chrome, I mean, if he gets beat, he's going to run second. He's not going to, I'm sure he's not going to run worse than second. And I'm not saying he's going to get beat. He's an exceptional horse. And I think for racing's sake, everybody wants to see him win because the Classic, to tell you the truth, the Classic is very, very thin at the top. I was looking at the odds at the Sky Bet in Europe, in England. And they've got California Chrome, and, you know, he's something like 11-8 favorite. I mean, let's say we're talking 7-5, and Arrogate is 8-5. And then the third choice is 15-1. The horse at the bottom of the list at 50-1, 5-0, is Mukhtahij, who likely is going to be the favorite in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. They got him at 50-1. They don't even list Shaman Ghost, and they've got FNX at 33-1. So it just shows you that nobody has a clue what's going on in the Classic.
You're telling me they're somewhere right now?
Race or not, because we don't know if Arrogate is going to run the same kind of race he did in the Travers, or if that was an aberration. And we're not going to know until the quarter pole of the Classic. So if California Chrome gets beat, what do you have? And you have nobody to be afraid of in the Classic. Because you really don't know. You can't say for sure that Arrogate is going to come back. Listen, we don't even know if he's going to run anywhere close to that race. It was such a freakish performance. Now, if he does, I don't know if anybody could beat him. Even California Chrome at his best. I don't know. It was just such an unbelievable performance. And we don't know yet about Frosted. Now, I personally, I think that they're going to go in the Classic. At least I would. I wouldn't run him in the Dirt Mile because I'm not a fan of the Dirt Mile. Because nobody remembers who wins the Dirt Mile. You go back and take a look at some of the, you know, except horses like Golden Sense, you know, who won it twice. And last year, Liam's Map won it only because he should have gone in the Classic himself. But listen, they didn't want to pass up a grade one $1 million race. Whereas Godolphin, you think Godolphin cares about winning a $1 million race? They want to win the Classic.
Right.
They're not going to have much better chances.
I'm a frosted guy. Believe me, I'm with you. I'm a frosted guy. I'd love to see him. I think Kieran McLaughlin wants to run him in the Classic, and I'd love to see him in the Classic. I'm with you. We got a couple of minutes left, Steve. Got a couple of minutes left.
Plus the fact that it's not even a true mile race anyway. It's more like a mile and a 16th race, which cheapens it. So you know what? Take a shot at the big one.
Talking with the great Steve Haskin. We got a couple of minutes left, Steve. Joe Hirsch, you and Ed Fontaine used to tell me all the time, Joe Hirsch, you'd ask Joe who he was rooting for, and he would say the best story. We have California Chrome and Beholder out at California today. Flincher here in the Joe Hirsch, Run Happy in the ACAC. Who's the best story?
Well, the California Chrome is always going to be the best story, and I don't mean just for this one particular race. I mean, every time he runs, he just adds to his story because it's starting from day one, from where this horse has come from and what he's gone through and the crazy career he's had, going to Dubai twice, running three times in Dubai, spending half the year training in England and then getting hurt and missing Royal Ascot and then being, you know, basically being taken away from his trainer and then being reunited with his trainer and then becoming even better than ever as a five-year-old. I mean, it's just an amazing story. I think as far as the Zenyatta goes, it's basically the beginning of a budding rivalry, you know, between Beholder and Stellar Wind. And listen, they only got five horses in there, but you know what? There's some really good horses in there as well. You know,
there is.
Of course, in there, Vale, Dory. I mean, let's remember, this is a filly that was second. That was a close second in the UAE Oaks. And then came back and was beaten only a length and a half in the UAE Derby against Lanny and the other boys. And she's come back here, and she's run two huge races, including winning a restricted stake last time out. Now, is she good enough to beat these horses? Probably not. But she's a good filly, and so is Tara's Tango, who's won a whole bunch of good races. But again, let's see what happens, because we don't know what's going to happen. If Beholder romps in this race, are they going to be tempted to maybe to try the classic if California Chrome happens to get beat or is not that impressive? To try her again? You know, can Stella Wynn beat her again? We don't know. It's basically the rivalry, you know. And as far as the story of Flincher, you know, it's a good story because it's, you know, it's Chad Brown, who was Bobby Frankel's assistant training a Judd Montorse. But I always loved, like, watching the racing shows yesterday. They said, oh, America's Big Hope. I mean, I don't care if he's run three races in America. I can't call him America's Big Hope.
He's not ours.
His entire life, all over the world, in Dubai, in Hong Kong, in France, in England, Ireland. He's been everywhere. So if he's America's Big Hope, what does that say about American turf horses? If that's our big hope,
he's not ours.
I don't buy that at all. I mean, he's a good story, and the fact that he's a good horse, he's finally found a place where he can win consistently, because he used to lose a lot more than win, although he was always right there. So to me, again, by far the big story. And listen, Run Happy is a great story too. I'm not crazy about the spot they brought him back in, but listen, we don't even know who trains that horse. We don't know anything about that horse anymore. But, I mean, being off that long, to come back at a mile, a flat mile at Churchill, that's a pretty tough spot. And he's not running against much, so he could win on class alone. But he still has to prove that he wants to go a mile. And, you know, it's a hard race at Churchill. It's one of the few tracks where you're going to run a flat mile. We're going to run hard from start to finish.
Should be a great, great day. Steve, thanks for some time this morning. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
My pleasure, Anthony. Take care.
All right. The one and only Steve Haskin. It's time now for the Bloodhorse News Update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Tepin works half mile at Saratoga. Robert Masterson's champion turf female Tepin continues to march towards the Breeders' Cup as the 5-year-old mare worked a half mile in 49 seconds September 30th over the turf at Saratoga Racecourse. The move was the fastest of 24 on the day's tab at the Spa. Trainer Mark Cassie's plan for Tepin is to ship to Keene on October 1st, where the trainer will have his choice of prep races in the 1-mile First Lady Stakes, a Grade 1, or the Shadwell Turf Mile, also a Grade 1, against males. Both races are October 8th. Tepin's work comes less than 2 weeks after her score in the Rico Woodbine Mile, a Grade 1, her first start since taking Royal Ascot by storm in the Queen Anne Stakes, a Group 1, in June. Winner of last year's Breeders' Cup Mile, a Grade 1, at Keeneland, Tepin is unbeaten in 5 starts this year and is riding an 8 race win streak that dates back to last year's First Lady. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Bloodhorse News Update. Bloodhorse Magazine is the thoroughbred industry's premier weekly publication, celebrating over 100 years of covering racing, breeding, news, and more. If you're not reading Bloodhorse, then don't miss another issue. Sign up today at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. Time for a break. When we come back, Mike Penna's interview with Santa Anita's racing secretary, Rick Hammerly. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic-producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by exciting Grade 1 winner Dre Fong.
Closing on the outside, then Summer Revolution and Mind Your Biscuits. Dre Fong rolls home in the King's Bishop.
And Castleton Lion Stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders Classics on Saturday, October 8th. 9 races worth more than $1.1 million, headlined by the $500,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic. Don't miss out on the excitement of the premier night of West Virginia bred racing, as the best horses the Mountain State has to offer will take center stage. First post time is at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders Classics, right here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Mark your calendar for the inaugural Spendthrift Stallion Stakes October 30th at Churchill Downs. Part of Churchill's Stars of Tomorrow program, the $300,000 Spendthrift Stallion Stakes will be contested at 7 furlongs on the main track and is exclusive to any Spendthrift sired two-year-old anywhere in North America, with half of the purse being distributed to the owners of the placed horses and the other half given to the breeders of the first through fourth place finishers. Don't miss the inaugural running of the Spendthrift Stallion Stakes, October 30th at Churchill Downs.
Claiborne Farms Warfront has earned international acclaim as a champion sire. Last year, Air Force Blue won 4 Group 1 events on his way to being named Europe's champion two-year-old colt. While stateside, Hit It A Bomb captured the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf at Keeneland. In the auction ring, Warfront's 7-figure sales included a North American record $3.2 million weanling. Warfront at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Here she is, folks. Just a magnificent blend of grace and power as she comes to the finish. Songbird, a picture of perfection.
Champion Songbird has developed, well, quite a habit of racking up big wins in Grade 1 races and doing it by open lengths. And last Saturday was no exception as the daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro rolled to yet another impressive score in the Grade 1 Cotillion. Songbird remains undefeated with 11 wins, 7 of those in Grade 1s, and a combined winning margin of 60 and a half lengths. And she is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is ranked among the nation's elite sires once again in 2016 by number of Grade 1 winners, graded winners, and black type winners, while siring a total of 4 stakes winners over this past weekend, a feat unmatched by any sire in North America this year. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Beholder at the rail and Stella win. So far, just a tremendous horse race. Remember, these are two class horses, and neither one of them's going to give an inch. Stella Wind on the outside has taken a little advantage, but Beholder's far from done. Here she comes back again. Beholder and Stella Wind, what a horse race. These two nose and nose to the wire. Beholder on the inside, Stella Wind on the outer. Stella Wind's going to beat her. Stella Wind has won the Clemental Hirsch under Victor Espinosa. Beholder a very game second. Then Divina Commedia off the road, and the dream was last.
Stellar Wind and Beholder will duke it out again in the Grade 1 Zenyatta a little later on out at the Great Race Place. Santa Anita, welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for Mike Penna and Jude Feld, who are out in Santa Anita, at Santa Anita, I should say, for our coverage later on today. We start at 5 o'clock Eastern exclusively on the website, horseracingradio.net. Mike Vesey and I will be here at Belmont Park for the Grade 1 Vosburgh and Grade 1 Beldame out at Santa Anita. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and Jeff Bloom take you through 5 Grade 1 win-in-you're-in races in Arcadia, California. Speaking of Arcadia, California, HRRN Nation, did you know that TVG is offering all new players 5-to-1 odds? That's right, 5-to-1 odds, that's what I said, on California Chrome. Plus, you can get up to a $100 sign-up bonus. Amazing odds on California Chrome, the clear favorite to win today's Awesome Again Stakes at Santa Anita. This is what you have to do. You go to promos.tvg.com/HRRN and join now with the promo code HRRN. So it's promos.tvg.com/HRRN. The promo code is HRRN. And you'll get 5-to-1 odds on California Chrome plus a $100 bonus. So go sign up. Again, promos.tvg.com/HRRN. The promo code's HRRN. You get 5-to-1 odds today in the Awesome Again on California Chrome plus up to a $100 sign-up bonus. Mike and Jude are out at Santa Anita. Like I said, yesterday, Mike Pena had the chance to catch up with Santa Anita's Racing Secretary, Rick Hammerly.
Here with Racing Secretary Rick Hammerly at Santa Anita, and Rick is the man responsible for putting the programs together, and boy, did he have his choice of outstanding horses and outstanding races this Saturday here at the Great Race Place. And Rick, when you think about the stars that we're going to see later Saturday afternoon, you think about Beholder, you think about California Chrome, I would have to say, from your standpoint, mission accomplished. Well done.
Thank you very much. I tell you, sometimes you just have to write the races and they show up. But you always advertise these days as Super Days or Breeders' Cup previews. But I think this is a true Breeders' Cup preview. I think you're going to see a lot of horses tomorrow that you're going to see 5 weeks from now. And that's the idea. But not just horses. We mentioned, you know, we got California Chrome and the best horse in the world. And, you know, he's running the pot's 300,000. And he's running. He's running because he needs a place to run, and there's no need to ship, you know, out of town for a little bit, a few more dollars when he's already got 12, 13 million in the till. So we're glad to have him. Beholder, I mean, she's made Santa Anita home for years and years and years. I think she's 13 wins out of 14 tries here at Santa Anita. And once again, she doesn't have any frequent flyer miles. She likes to stay home. And so we're glad to have her here. And then, you know, I always wonder when you get a horse like Beholder who's been dominant here for so long, and then all of a sudden she gets beat by Stellar Wind, who's just turned four. I always think, is it better to have one good one to scare him away, or is it better to now she's vulnerable, but is it better to have two good ones, or, you know, I'm not so sure. But so we're glad to have both those two renew their little mini rivalry. And Jerry Hollendorf has got a little sneaky filly in there, Terra's Tango, who I've been reading about, was thinking about going to Keeneland, but Dan Ward is his trusty assistant, who I heard on your show a couple days ago, did a great job. But he had signaled to me that she was going to stay here the whole time, and was there, that she is doing fantastic. And let's remember, she won a grade one here in March at Santa Anita here, the Santa Margarita Stakes. So, you know, if something goofy were to happen, she might be there to pick up the pieces. And then you've got the horse that Baffert has that won the little prep down there, Valdori, I believe is her name. So a nice little four-pack with a fifth horse is why we put it as one of the feature races later in the day, because I think we really want to keep the fans here. You know, California Chrome in the seventh, and then stay a little bit longer and see Beholder and that crew in the ninth race.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you bring up, the five-horse field and the Zenyatta. Obviously, the Awesome Again Stakes, not a gigantic field either, because you have California Chrome. I'm always curious, from a racing secretary's perspective, would you rather have that big star power and the smaller field that you typically get with it, or would you rather have less star power but yet a bigger field? What's better?
Well, I tell you, it's a tricky question, and most of it has to do with the rest of the races. It's not necessarily that race in particular. You can do a lot of things when the rest of the card is good. So a day like today, well, you're running a five-horse field as the ninth race, but look what we're surrounded with. We're surrounded with the Unzip Me with 12, Chandelier with 12, and the Rodeo Drive with 14. No harm throwing in a five-horse field in the middle of that, especially a contentious five-horse field. So we're talking about for the pick four. The front runner, we carded seven. I don't think we're going to run seven. I think Opportunity's basically made it clear. Bob's made it clear that he's going to run somewhere else. There might be one, maybe two that went in there to see if just to see what's going to happen. So, and also California Chrome is going to be the shortest price of the day. So we kept that out, maybe gave a free spot in the pick six, but kept it out of the pick four because I think, I mean, you could confidently pick one of these horses in the Zenyatta, but, you know, you might want to go two or three deep just to cover. So if we had six and seven horse fields surrounding it, maybe you wouldn't see that run in its play. So every situation's different, and we were lucky to have some bigger fields to surround that race with. So, you know, just because we did it this time might not mean we do it the next time. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of running the better races later in the card. In fact, I really love to finish with a stake. I think it just adds something. We did it, I think I started about 5 years ago. I put the Malibu as the last race on opening day one day and really flipped some people out. And I remember being in the paddock taking pictures. That was the last race, and they were six deep in the paddock. It's like, wow, this really works. So some days it works, some days it doesn't. On Sunday, just for example, we got the John Henry. Nice field, 10 horses, and it's the sixth race. It could have been the ninth race as the last. Just didn't have that feel as being a last race type of race to stick around for the mile and a quarter. So some days it works, some days it doesn't. It's just kind of how we feel at the time.
It's fascinating. So many different things that you have to take into consideration in your position, not just the horses that you're going to recruit to be here for the big races, but then how you structure the races based on the wagering opportunities and the crowd that you're expecting to be here. It's not exactly a simple science, is it? Is it an exact science by any stretch?
By no stretch. And as I just said, every day is different. You have turf races that you would love to run next to each other, which we try and give at least one and most of the time two races in between. So you get stuck there. You'd like to, you know, we've got on Saturday, we have three races in between the Rodeo, two races in between the Rodeo Drive and the Unzip Me. So you got to hunt up two dirt races. And when you're setting this up every day, you're thinking about the pick four. You're thinking about the pick six. Of course, we're pick six nuts out here for a while. That's gone away. And then the pick five. And the pick five was generally not on our radar as a menu to bet in my world when we're setting the races, because our deal is a couple of short fields, let's throw them in the first couple and then move on. I got an interesting phone call, I'm going to say 2 or 3 years ago, from a fan, and he said, hey, do us a favor, build up that pick five a little bit. And, you know, we're trying to make it a play. And I, you know what? I start thinking, I said, wow, this is obviously, this is the new bet out here, new 3, 4, 5 years ago. So what I'll try and do now, without making too big deal about it, I'll try and throw a nice race. Sometimes I like to lead off with a turf race now out of the blue. Instead of putting it as the third, I make it as the first to make that a little bit more interesting. And I'm a little bit more cognizant of making the fifth race a little bit better just because it's the final leg of the pick five. So a lot of this betting stuff does come in, and every once in a while I'll try something and, well, why'd you do that? And I'll explain, well, today it's set up to maybe we can try to make this bet a little bit better and sacrifice another bet. So, yeah, I do appreciate a lot of the comments from not only the bettors, but just some fans out there that play our product that aren't on track and what they're thinking and what's going through their mind. Because let's face it, if it's not for the fans, you know, we're all done. So I really appreciate their comments and try to accommodate as much as I can. That makes sense.
I've always said that the racing secretary position is similar to being a college basketball coach, having to recruit talent to your particular event. And same thing from your standpoint, you're trying to get horses to come to Santa Anita to run in these big events. How much does it help you in having the Breeders' Cup run at this same venue just about a month out?
You know, I think it helped a lot more years ago. I'll tell you what, I will tell you the biggest help is the crew that we have in here. We've put together a real good crew that, you know, Chris Merz is our stakes coordinator. Zach does a lot of work here. So they do most of the legwork. You know, we do a lot of traveling around during the off season and just kind of let people know we're still here. But I think Breeders' Cup preps have become a lot more regional than they have in the past. You don't see a whole lot of shipping across country for a lot of the races. The Kentucky horses tend to stay in Kentucky. The New York horses tend to stay there. And our horses, of course, stay here unless trainers are doubled up. So it helps. I know it helped in the fact of filly that's running today, Lady Shipman. I mean, she had other opportunities to go. She did not have to ship out here. And in all of her 13 wins, none of them have come down the hill. In fact, she's never run down the hill before. And talking to Kieran McLaughlin, her trainer, he said, you know what, let's go out. We're going to prep somewhere. Why not check out the hill? And even not so much for her, but Irod has never been down the hill at all either. I don't know if he's even ridden out here, but to come out here and get that thing a taste, because I guarantee he's going to have a mount with somebody coming down the hill on Breeders' Cup Day in the turf sprint. So in some cases it matters to trainers. They used to want to get the, quote, race over the track. I just don't see them as much cross-country travel as we used to.
So outside of the big horses that we've already talked about, and by the way, visiting with Rick Hammerly, the racing secretary here at Santa Anita on the Horse Racing Radio Network, outside of those big horses in the Awesome Again Stakes and the Zenyatta, the other three Grade 1 stakes are loaded with talent as well. Who are some of the other horses that people should keep an eye on in those other races?
Well, we have the two two-year-old races, the Front Runner and the Chandelier. Now, last year, of course, was a unique situation. We had two undefeated horses coming into the race, Nyquist and Songbird. Two undefeated horses going out of the race, and both of them won the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, Nyquist went on to win the Derby, and Songbird has just come on to be the super filly that we all thought she would be. So, you know, these races sometimes do tell this story. We've had some of the winners in previous years prep in these races. So keep an eye on these races. In the Front Runner, in most of these races, in the colt race especially, Bob Baffert, he's the door you got to kick down. I think he's won this race 7 times, including last year. And he's had some real nice horses win there, looking at Lucky, Roman Ruler. This year, there's no different. Klimt is the horse to beat, coming off the big win in Del Mar. Going around two turns for the first time, I quietly mentioned it to him the other day, and he just waved it off like, no problem. And you know what? He's got a lot of tells, Bob does, when and I don't ask him about horses too often, but I can get a good feeling or a mediocre feeling walking away. I got a real good feeling from him this time, like, no problem, he's good. And I asked him, it's funny, I was asking about the breeding, and he goes, ooh, Quality Road. He goes, it took a lot to pull the trigger on this one because there's not a whole lot of Quality Roads out there running. And he says, I'm glad I got him. And he's very excited about winning another one of these races. But, you know, Keith DeSormo has come on the scene lately. One of those guys that's been around for a while, done great for a while, but he's finally getting a little bit of exposure out here in California. Of course, Exaggerator and Texas Red have helped that a lot. But let's not discount him. He's got two in there. Straight Fire, who finished second to Klimt last time, going 7/8, might appreciate the distance, and the Maiden Vibe on the outside. So those are two of the guys to always keep a look out for, and Doug O'Neill's in there, and John Sheriff. So, you know, a lot of potential in there. But once again, the door goes through the Bob Baffert barn. And in the Philly division, which came up big, there's 12 of them. I know Bob has a couple in here. He's hinted about sending Noted and Quoted to Keeneland, and we'll find that out tomorrow if she indeed goes in the gate. And, you know, we see a lot about that. And he makes a lot of last-minute decisions just because he wants to see how they're doing. If she's doing great here and looks good, you know, maybe he doesn't want to put her on a plane and then come back again and have to sit around. Of course, he has American Cleopatra in there. A lot of pressure on that one, maybe just because of the name and because of her breeding with American Pharaoh in there. But wide open races there. Let's just talk about Richard Baltus a little bit. He's got a couple in there. He's got a horse called Zapper Cat that won last time out. And he's also got a maiden in there, Mistress of the Night, that he's been very, very high on. I'm just kind of giving you a little backside information here. He could have gone in a race today. We have a two-year-old maiden race going a mile, and he thought about it and thought about it. He says, you know what? I think she's that good. So maybe you want to take a look at her in some part of a you know, vertical bet tomorrow, Mistress of the Night. But this one's wide open. I don't know. I can't put my finger on a whole lot. But once again, you know, you got to go through Bob Baffert here, and that's just the way it is out here in Southern California when it comes to the two-year-old races.
Yeah, well, it's going to be an amazing day of racing. Again, all those Grade Ones coming up later this afternoon on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Our coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern Time. That's 2 o'clock Pacific, and you can tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.com. Rick Hammerly.net. Rick Hammerly doing a great job here at the Great Race Place. Appreciate the time, my friend. And I know that you bleed black and gold just like me. So go Steelers.
Go Steelers. Always a pleasure to have you guys in town and all the work that you guys do. And, you know, I do some work with Steve Bick, and it's just great to get the word out. I'd love to going home in the afternoon, pushing that button and hearing horse racing. So keep it up.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll see you in a month.
All right. Love it.
One of the best at what he does, Rick Hammerly, the racing secretary out at the Great Race Place. Comprehensive coverage of that great card out at Santa Anita today. Time for one more break. When we come back, we'll take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainsway with my man Jason Blewett from the New York Racing Association. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
Only on HRRN.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Racing fans, come see superstar California Chrome at Santa Anita this Saturday as he takes center stage in the Grade 1 Awesome Again Stakes. With more than $13 million in earnings, California bred, California Chrome is North America's all-time leading money earner. Come early on Saturday as the Awesome Again is one of five Grade 1 Breeders' Cup winning your in races that will also showcase three-time Eclipse Award winning Beholder as she renews her rivalry with Stellar Wind in the Zenyatta Stakes. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire to Visadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world-class.
Tarif takes him on and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards.
Joy, a world-class sire, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Javier Castellano's got so much horse with Fleischer. Where is he going to go? No! The rail is opened, and he'll just take off. Fleischer got through on the inside, and there he goes. As Money Multiplier moves up on the outside into second, Twilight Eclipse is third, as Fleischer just strides away. Oh, what a racehorse. Fleischer, defeats Money Multiplier, Twilight Eclipse, and Grand Tito in a final time of 2 minutes, 23.45 seconds. He just missed the course record. A brilliant performance again today by Flincher.
Flincher headlines the four-horse field in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic today. He kicks off the Equine Star Power as Flincher, California Chrome, Beholder, and Run Happy, all scheduled to go to the post this afternoon across the country. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for Mike Penna and Jude Feld, who are out at Santa Anita. That's all the action today. Don't forget that on Sunday, October 16th, watch and wager on the Patterson Canadian International live from Woodbine Racetrack. See the best horses from Europe, Australia, the United States, and, of course, Canada. And with $1 million on the line, they'll all bring their A game as they take to the E.P. Taylor Turf Course for the mile-and-a-half event. Woodbine will offer large guaranteed pools and 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools that afternoon. Watch and wager on the Patterson Canadian International Sunday, October 16th. Post time is 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit woodbineracetrack.com. Five stakes in all here at Belmont today. Two win in your ins, three grade ones. Nice enough to join us now on the road to the Breeders' Cup. Presented by Gainsway Farm is Jason Blewett. But here it is, the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway.
This is the Road to the Breeders' Cup.
In the race of the year, fourth horse of the year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
My man Jason Blewett, host here at the New York Racing Association, television host for NYRA TV. Nice enough to join us now. AJ, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Hey, Big A. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. Exciting day of racing here. We got a couple of scratches to report. Hot City Girl coming out of the Gallant Bloom with a foot abscess. AP Indian scratching due to the course condition. Muddy and Yielding as we start one of the two Super Saturdays here at Belmont.
Yeah, it should be a great day as far as the racing action goes. As you know, we can't control the weather, and Mother Nature all year has been very good to us. Unfortunately, some lingering effects as far as the muddy and Yielding track and turf conditions from the rain we had yesterday, but it still doesn't dilute kind of star card we have on tap today with Flincher and four other supporting stakes, and don't forget a Saturday late pick five, which kicks off in race number seven, the Gallant Bloom.
Yeah, pick six will start with Flincher, but they kept the free bingo square, if you will, out of the late pick five. Gallant Bloom, a fun race. The Vosburgh, we had Charlie Baker on, trainer of Joking. A real horse for the course here, huh, Jason?
Yeah, loves Belmont, loves Charlie Baker, and, I mean, I think perhaps above everything else, he really relishes an off-track, and he'll get that today. Having not raced since actually Belmont Stakes Eve back on June 10th when he upset a short field that included Holy Boss in the Grade 2 True North. I think this horse, a microcosm of the kind of job and the kind of year Charlie Baker has had. He is no longer sort of, our good thing during the wintertime at Aqueduct. I mean, if you haven't taken notice of a guy who's just a top-class horseman, you haven't been paying attention.
He had a fantastic Saratoga meet. Speaking of Saratoga, the Pilgrim is a race that, it's going to get lost in the shuffle with all of the star power, both here in Belmont and across the country today. But maybe the most impressive performance of the Saratoga meet, saved a stakes race, was that maiden win by Oscar Performance for Brian Lynch and Jose Ortiz, who joined us earlier today on the Equine Forum.
Yeah, that effort from that colt by Kitten's Joy to break his maiden on the turf by over 10 lengths. I mean, I'm sure most people listening to you this morning are, hardcore racing fans, handicappers, whatever, horse players. You just don't see horses win like that on the grass. Of course, the million-dollar question is, how will he handle a turf course that's taken quite a bit of rain? And I think ultimately with the dirt and turf conditions today, big fields and a number of the stakes, I think you have to let price be your guide. I know it's cliche, but I'm always reminded The only thing you can control is your price. Once they open up that starting gate latch, I mean, all bets are off. I mean, there's a million and one things that can go wrong. So, as much as I'm looking forward to seeing Oscar perform its run, if they go hog wild on him today, you know, he's 2-1 on the morning line, and there's no scratches, by the way, in the Pilgrim, in the body of the field. The only scratch as of now is the 11 Cohen's cat. But if they go bananas on him and he's a drastic underlay, I would look to bet against him.
Talking with Jason Blewett, host here for the New York Racing Association on NYRA TV, and we'll be back with Jason for a few more minutes right after a few words from our friends at Gainesway Farm.
Power.
But Frosted has won with ease in the Whitney.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destin right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
Pretty City Dancer and Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
Gainesway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire and once again number one in 2016, more than $5 million clear on the general sire list. Tappet added to his lofty totals with two new Grade 1 winners in the spinaway at Saratoga as his daughters, Sweet Loretta and Pretty City Dancer, dead-heated for the Grade 1 victory. And Tappet's son, Tapazar, now has a first crop stakes winner as Tip Tap Tapazar closed impressively to take Monmouth's Sapling Stakes. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tapazar retired sound and is represented by eight individual first crop two-year-old winners to date. Tappet and Tapazar standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Welcome back, joined by Jason Blewett of the New York Racing Association as we are on the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainesway Farm. All right, Jay, going to put you on the spot here. The Beldame is going to be the last of the five stakes here at beautiful Belmont Park today. Field of seven. Looks like they're going to have to deal with at the very least, some moisture in the track. It's muddy now. Sun not supposed to come out all day, so you figure it'll be muddy to good. Who do we like in this field of seven?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, it really, and it's by a chasm, it's Forever Unbridled's race to lose. I would love to come on and you know, be the proverbial wise guy and have something really cute to say about the Beldame, but to be honest, and this race with a lot of history, and I mean, geez, you've been going to the track since you were, you know, in a stroller. You know, I've been around since the early 90s. This is not a, you know, one of the Beldames that you'll look back on and go, wow, that was just such a great field. You know, Forever Unbridled, who, by the way, has never started on an off track, but being by Unbridled's song out of 11 Drop Kid Dam should relish it. She's supposed to win today. I mean, she's been running, and granted, to be fair, the East Coast fillies, save Songbird, you know, the older fillies and mares, they've been entertaining all year, but they're hardly beholder-esque. But she's been running in races like the Apple Blossom, Phipps, the Personal Ensign, dropping down into a Beldame that is basically dominated by three-year-old fillies. She's supposed to win today at a very, very short price for one of the good guys in Dallas Stewart.
Four older fillies, three three-year-olds. Should be a great day here at beautiful Belmont Park. Jason will be taking you through the day here at the New York Racing Association. Jay, thanks for a few minutes this morning, and I will I'll see you here in the office later.
Yeah, good. Keep the office warm for me. And just to update everybody, as far as muddy and yielding, as we mentioned, there's only two turf races today that are on, the Joe Hirsch, obviously, and the Pilgrim. 1, 2, 4, and 11 have been moved to the main track.
All right. 1, 2, 4, and 11 off the turf, the Pilgrim and the Joe Hirsch on a yielding turf course. We've been talking with Jason Blewett. Jay, we'll see you later.
All right. Just let me know where to send the invoice. Thank you very much.
A little running joke of me and Mr. Blewett as we wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum. Normally, well, I would say we'll see you later, HR Nation, and we will. We'll talk to you tonight, 5 to 8 Eastern Time. Live coverage of the Vosburgh and the Beldame here at Belmont. It'll be me and Mike Vesey out at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita. It's the Baron, Mike Penna, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. And we still got to get Jeff Bloom a nickname. Jumping Jeff Bloom just doesn't make any sense to me. But Jeff Bloom, they'll be out there for all five win and you're in races. I say normally we wouldn't talk to you until 5, but for our Spanish-speaking audience, head over right now to hrrnenespanol.com for Hablando de Apismo. It is your new Spanish language talk show every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. It's all in Spanish. Join my friends Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma, El Potro, Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma, right over at hrrnenespanol.com. It starts in just a minute. Hablando de Apismo. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Equine Forum. Thanks to all of our guests, Charlie Baker, Jose Ortiz, Steve Haskin, Jason Blewett, and Rick Hammerly. On behalf of our producer to the stars, Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. We'll talk to you at 5 exclusively at horseracingradio.net. Talk to you then.